So this sermon that I'm delivering to you today has been inspired by the preacher Don Blackwell. Some of this is his inspired. A lot of this is original thought. This sermon really is from my heart, and I hope that I'm able to deliver this message that impacts you in a way that it impacted me that night I first listened to it. So many people feel this emptiness in their life at some point, or many points in their life. It's well documented how famous people who seemingly have everything feel empty without anyone ever knowing that. And I think this is because we are image bearers of God. And as Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has set a longing for eternity in our heart. We are spiritual beings. We are souls with bodies, not bodies with souls. And so it is impossible for a spiritual being to be fulfilled by physical and material things. And so what makes us not feel miserable or empty? What gives us meaning and hope and purpose in life? What's the meaning of our existence that we may be fulfilled and not left empty or miserable? This is something we all undoubtedly wonder at some point and is going to be the topic of the message this morning. If you can click the next slides, I'm without a clicker. We'll cover these three points. Number one, how to fail at this, how to be miserable and unfulfilled. Number two, how to succeed at this, how to be fulfilled and to have the meaning of life, the objective transcendent meaning of life. And number three, how we should live because of this, or now knowing this knowledge, how should we live? So we're going to let Solomon be our outline for the first point. So turn your Bibles to 1 Kings 3. And if you could click that next slide, I'd appreciate it. So I'm going to read 1 Kings 3, verses 9 to 13. So this is Solomon speaking. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who was able to judge great people of yours? It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself a long life, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise, discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall there be anyone like you after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among you, any among the kings like you all your days. So Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, and even modern scholars acknowledge his great wisdom and wealth. Solomon writes the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and some of the Psalms, providing us with some of his wisdom. Ecclesiastes deals with, which is what we're going to look at, deals with things in life and the meaning of it, and so we're going to take a look at what he discovered tonight. So if you can turn your Bibles there, we saw how he's the wisest man who ever lived, and so we're going to look at what he writes about life, and we're going to spend a lot of our time in Ecclesiastes. So this is the part that I've now borrowed from the preacher I heard that night, as he organized the things that leave you empty into W's. If you can click that next slide. Our first one is wealth. So scholars have compared the wealth of Solomon to the wealth of people like Rockefeller and Bill Gates, and have said those people would be penniless, quote, compared to Solomon. Yet Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 2, I have enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. I planted them in all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself, which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had a home-born slaves. I also possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who succeeded me in Jerusalem. Solomon says there was no one richer than me. And God says, I have given you wisdom and riches that there will be no one before you like you and no one after you like you. And yet what does Solomon say when you get to chapter 5 and verse 10? He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with his income. This too is vanity. He said, I am the richest man who has ever lived, and this is emptiness. Now, money doesn't bring fulfillment because no amount of money can buy you relief from spiritual pain and longing. You can click our Our next slide, our second point is wisdom. That is secular education. Now, we are very serious about our secular education. Not that I'm a fan of how seriously we take secular education, but parents can be fined or worse if their kids don't end up in school. There are repercussions if a student misses too many days, too many absences. This is a big deal to us. So society tells us there's nothing more important for your kids to get good grades and SAT scores to send them off to a good college where they can get more education. But you can go to heaven without a college degree, but you can lose your soul with a PhD. And Solomon also found this, saying, in much wisdom, there is much grief. Additionally, noting in chapter 12, but beyond this, my son, be warned, the writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. Solomon found that secular education did not satisfy him, and it will not satisfy you. Now, what do most people go to get an education for? People go to school to get an education for a job, which leads us to our third point, work. How many people immerse themselves in work or in their career, thinking that this is what life is all about? Solomon says in chapter 2 and verse 22, for what does a man get in all his labor and in all his striving with which he labors under the sun? Because all his days his task is painful and grievous. Even at night his mind does not rest. He's up thinking at night about his work and he's stressing. This too is vanity. If your career or your job is the number one priority in your life, you're going to be left empty and unfulfilled. How often do we choose work over worship, career over family, or a pay raise over the local congregation? So we should not be looking to work to fulfill us. Number four, wit. And by this, I mean meaning laughter, human humor, pleasure, fun. Solomon says this in the beginning of chapter 2. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure, so enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. I said of laughter, it is madness, and of pleasure, what does it accomplish? Solomon was saying, I've been too serious. Maybe I need to lighten up, loosen up, have a little fun. Maybe that will bring me joy and fulfillment. Maybe that's what I've been missing. So he tries humor, he tries wit, he tries pleasure and fun. And it left him empty and unfulfilled, for he says, this too was vanity. Next, he tried wine. In chapter 2, verse 3, he says, I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine. He thought maybe he could find happiness in alcohol. Ladies and gentlemen, how many people try this? How many people drown their problems in alcohol or try to find fulfillment in alcohol to make it numb the pain? How many songs are written about drinking alcohol to numb the pain? This is such a relevant thing. So many people go to alcohol to fulfill something in their life, but it doesn't make your problems go away. It might for a little while it feels fun, but when you sober up, you just realize you've added one more problem to your tally. Solomon said in Proverbs 20 and verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. He too noted that this does not fulfill you. Number 6, Solomon tried women, or sexual desires. 1 Kings 11:3 says Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now, some of these are military alliances, I get that, but he was looking to women to gratify his sexual desires and to give him some sort of pleasure and to fulfill this emptiness that he was looking for. Many people go through many relationships and marriages because they're looking for happiness in what we call the honeymoon phase, when it's all exciting and mushy-gushy and all that. And once they move on, or once that's gone, they move on and try and find that. That's what my mom says, mushy-gushy in the honeymoon phase, anyway. So if you think that's funny, that's not original. But once people lose that feeling of love, sometimes they move on and try and find that with somebody else, and the cycle repeats itself. I would put things like pornography, homosexuality, all sexual immorality into this category of trying to find fulfillment in our sexual desires. But Solomon, with all of his women, 1,000 of them, did not achieve fulfillment, but the opposite. It might have cost him his soul. If you read 1 Kings 11, as I remember, I listened to it on my way to Millersville one day, I remember feeling so sad, and to me, it's one of the most sad texts in all of the Old Testament, because as you listen to the Old Testament, you're kind of rooting for Israel to repent and to live for God, and they kind of go through ups and downs where they're doing right and then they're doing bad. And I remember this was one of the times where I really felt sad that especially Solomon, of all people, had turned away. And this is what it says in 1 Kings 11. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away from other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of his David his father had been. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord fully as his father David had done. So Solomon, with all of his women, did not find fulfillment. He quite possibly might have lost his soul. Number 7, whatever. Whatever pleasure or whatever thing occurred to Solomon that he thought would be nice, he tried that. Ecclesiastes 2:10 says, all that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. Could you imagine living like this, acting on any desire you had, whenever you had it? I mean, I've thought about it. I feel like it'd be pretty cool. But I can't imagine actually living like this. You wouldn't get very far before you got arrested. I mean, let's be honest. Now, surely this would make you happy. You know, kids don't like rules, and kids grow up thinking, man, if I didn't have any rules and I could just eat all the cookies I wanted, I would be happy. And oftentimes as adults, we think, man, if I had no rules, if I could just do whatever I wanted, I would be happy. But it ended up not making Solomon happy. Solomon tried this, and Solomon wasn't happy, because he says 7 verses later, and I quote, I hate life. How does somebody who does whatever their heart desires, whatever their eye sees that would be fun or enjoyable, they do. And Solomon says, I hate life. I don't understand how you get there. So Solomon has tried all of these things, all 7 of these things, and they're organized into W's. And yet, it left Solomon empty. Which leads us to our second point. If you would click the next slide, how to succeed at this. How to make the emptiness go away, how to successfully feel fulfilled. We saw how Solomon failed at it. Now we're going to look at how you can succeed at finding fulfillment. The first one is worship. So after trying all the things we just listed up on the screen, Solomon says in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, in verse 13, this is the verse in the bulletin, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the all of man. Man is a spiritual being, and the only thing that can fill this hole is a spiritual thing, worshiping God and keeping his commandments. Because it is the all or the duty of man, if you fail at this, if you miss on worshiping at God, you have missed your entire purpose for existence. You see, many people feel this emptiness or unfulfilledness because they don't know why they're here. They feel like they should just be happy and entertained when that won't fulfill them because that's not their purpose. You are on this planet for one purpose, and that is to worship the being who created you. And if you miss that, you miss the entire point of life. You miss meaning. You miss everything. And you'll be left unfulfilled and wandering. And so fearing God, worshiping him, and keeping his commandments is the purpose of mankind. Point number 2, if you can click the next one, contentment. Paul says in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. You see, happiness is contingent upon circumstances. Joy and fulfillment are a choice of gratitude in any situation. And we are told to rejoice always. I'm not always happy, but I'm told to always rejoice. So rejoicing must be a choice. And let's not forget to look around and be grateful at all the things that we have. How many people can walk into our house full of stuff, to walk into our room full of stuff, our closet full of stuff, our garage full of stuff, our basements, our attics full of stuff? We're really good at having a lot of stuff we don't know what to do with. And it just sits there and collects dust. So we have so much excess. We have so much to be grateful for, and not getting caught up in the idea that money and stuff can bring us fulfillment. We aren't keeping up with the Joneses. We're keeping up with Jesus and following him and learning to be content and choosing to be content and rejoice. Like Paul said, despite your circumstances, is the second way to successfully find fulfillment and purpose. Our third way is servanthood. Now you might ask, How can being a servant bring me fulfillment? This is about me. Why would serving others make me happy and bring me fulfillment? Yet, Acts 10:38 says Jesus went about doing good. Matthew 20:28 says Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Acts 20:35 said, Jesus said it is more blessed to give than receive. And secular data actually backs this up. Research supports that people who give money to charity are 43% more likely to be happy and fulfilled. Volunteers are 42% more likely to be happy than those that don't. I know I've listened to my dad give sermons about gratitude and the attitude of gratitude. Heard that a lot growing up when I was grumpy. That I should just be grateful and be happy. So you're kind of getting the other side of that. But that's true. And I've heard dad quote statistics and now I'm giving you statistics that there's truth to serving others and helping others helps us feel fulfilled. And in the same way that Jesus came to serve, not to be served, we are also here to serve, not to be served. Number four, a happy home. Who you marry can be your greatest treasure or your worst nightmare. Young people need to be wise in choosing whom they marry. I remember being a teenager. Wow, that's weird saying that. I remember being a teenager not that long ago, a couple years ago, sitting in Becky's youth class, and we were learning about marriage. And I remember how terrified all of us were of marriage and walking out of that class, because we got hit with the realization that it wasn't always, you know, lovey-dovey, and it wasn't this amazing, you know, thing you see in movies, that marriage is work and it's effort and it's hard. And so choosing who you marry can be your greatest treasure or your worst nightmare. So being wise in choosing who you marry, and if you're already married, sorry, but you can you can work to build a happy home and serve one another, because a happy home is a key to finding fulfillment. Solomon in Proverbs 21:9 says, it is better to live in a corner of a roof, that is the corner of an attic, than in a house shared with a contentious woman. I think those are scary words. But on the flip side of that, in Proverbs 18:22, Solomon says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor, and obtains the favor of the Lord. So that's what I mean when I say marriage can be your greatest treasure or your worst nightmare. It can make you really happy and fulfill you, and bringing children into this world can make you really happy and fulfill you, or it can be your worst nightmare. If you want to feel happy, work on patterning your marriage after the biblical pattern. Number five, the most important, confidence in your salvation. This is by far the best one. There's no better feeling than to say in a humble and yet confident manner, if I died right now, I would be with the Lord. How good does that feel to say that? And how often do we not really believe it when we say it? 1 John 5:13 says that we can know we have eternal life. How many of us, if somebody asks you, am I going to heaven? Do we say, I think I'm going to heaven? Or I hope, I'm pretty sure I'm going to heaven. It's been a pretty good day. It's been a pretty good week. I think I'm going to be good, you know, but the assurance, the peace, the fulfillment that comes from being able to humbly say, if I died now by the grace of Jesus, I would be with him in heaven. Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will be with us. This is something that only Christians come to know. This is a fulfillment and a peace that only Christians come to know, because it's through Christ. We then have the ultimate fulfillment of salvation and being adopted by God as a member of his chosen people. And no matter what our circumstances are on this earth, we will be with him someday, as dad used to always drill into me growing up. If you have nothing else to be grateful for, be grateful you're going to heaven. And I think you laugh, but it's a serious point, because I think Paul, for example, really believed that. If you read his list in 2 Corinthians 11 of all the things he went through, and how Paul says, I learned to be content in all situations, whether I was rich or whether I had need, whether I was hungry or whether I was full. Paul learned contentment in all things. You know why? Because Paul knew he was going to heaven, and he knew that whatever circumstances he was in right now, it didn't matter, because 70 years on the time scope of eternity is a blip. You don't even notice it. So whatever you're going through right now, being able to say, I will go to heaven, provides everlasting fulfillment. And when we can confidently, humbly say, I will be with Jesus when I die, and know it and believe it, Christianity will become the most precious thing to us. And a person who has this peace and assurance is not empty inside. Just like Paul and Silas in prison in Acts 16, singing praises to God in the middle of the night. How do you do that? How are you sitting in a prison full of rats in the middle of the night singing praises? Because you know you're going to heaven and you're fulfilled by it. So how should we conduct ourselves in order to live purposefully and meaningfully, to not be left empty and unfulfilled? If you could click the next slide, you guys can turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 12. So as Solomon, or the preacher in this case, is kind of wrapping up his speech, he goes through this. He says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, and you say, I have no delight in them. That is, older people have aches and pains and things in life that no longer make it enjoyable. Before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. That is, you get old, start to lose your eyesight, you can't see as well. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, as you get older, you begin to shake, you get weaker, and once simple tasks now require a lot of physical strength. And mighty men stoop. Age weakens even the strongest of men. It takes a toll on their back and their knees. The grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through the windows grow dim. That is, your teeth are ground down after all the years of grinding them in the night when you sleep, or you begin to lose them as you age. He goes on, and the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will arise at the sound of a bird. You start to lose your hearing, and you don't sleep as well. You're awakened at the slightest noise, just the sound of a bird. And all the daughters of song will sing softly. Again, you begin to lose your hearing. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and terrors on the road. Adventure and normal things of life that you used to do, they seem a lot more frightful. Mom says she's scared of roller coasters now. She didn't used to be scared of roller coasters. So the almond tree blossoms, meaning your hair is starting to get white. The grasshopper drags himself along, and the capperberry is ineffective. Even the smallest tasks are burdensome, and you don't have the same energy and motivation. He finishes out saying, for man goes to his eternal home, while mourners go about in the street, remember him. Before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Ladies and gentlemen, don't waste your time searching for meaning and fulfillment in earthly things that are quickly passing away. But remember the Lord your God in the days of your youth. Serve him before it's too late, before you're unable to. Fear him and keep his commandments, and you will find everlasting joy and fulfillment. If you can click to the last slide. In conclusion, we saw how people fail at finding fulfillment and meaning, whether they look for it in wealth, wisdom, work, wit, wine, women, or whatever their heart desires. We saw what the meaning of life is, worshiping God, fearing him, and keeping his commandments. And we saw that the things that bring actual fulfillment, like worship, contentment, servanthood, having a happy home, and most of all, confidence in your salvation, knowing that if you die today, no matter what your circumstances would be, you would be with God in heaven. Finally, we saw how we ought to live our lives now knowing this. We all get old and lose our physical abilities, but let us remember to fear our Creator while we still can and serve him, and that will lead to everlasting fulfillment.